This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Action fanatics, welcome to episode 108 of the Bulletproof Podcast. I'm your host, Chris the Brain, and joining me once again, my co-host and colleague, Mr. Chad Cruz.
108 episodes, and you're still not calling me your best friend in the opening intro. It's a bit. It hurts a little bit. I'm not going to lie, especially in this Christmas season.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to start lying right from the beginning of the show. So
that's fair. That's fair.
There is that. You know, we've got a very special. We haven't had too many special guests this year, and we're running out of 2023. I wanted to get one more special guest in, and we've got one. And he is absolutely one of the most talented men I've ever had the pleasure of working with in the wrestling industry. He is the one and only Ron Mathis.
You know what makes me such a special guest? Chris the Brain's best friend.
That's right. Ron Mathis, my best friend.
One episode.
And really one of the biggest RoboCop fans that I know.
I do love me some RoboCop, and not to alienate your fan base right off the fact, but the interesting thing how much I love RoboCop is I don't really like action movies.
I know, and that's, you know, why it's – I knew it had to be something special to get a special guest like Ron Mathis on, and I think we've talked about it, Chad, when we covered the original RoboCop, and we've talked about it on the site as well. That, of course, is bulletproofaction.com. RoboCop is one of those movies that appeals to many a genre, and – Ron Mathis is like Mr. Horror Movie. Like, that's your number one genre.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that appeals to me about RoboCop is you never see someone just get shot and fall down mindlessly. You're going to see their chest explode, every single one of them. And that's what I always appreciated about RoboCop as a horror fan.
Yeah, I think RoboCop has massive, you know, crossover appeal for cinephiles, for film fans, you know, because it's got – it's got that forward thinking, like the writing is otherworldly in a way, because you watch it and you think, wow, this could be made today. And it was made, you know, 35, whatever the fuck, how many ever years ago it was. And as the sequels get on, I feel like they feel the need that they have to up the gore. And I think RoboCop 2 does that, you know, they just start murdering people in various ways. And
they murder Robo, as we'll get into, or attempt to.
How many times has he been killed? I mean, let's be honest.
Not to mention all the random people they just drop at the final fight sequence to where, you know, they're stepping over bodies at the end. Yeah,
literally stepping over bodies.
Yeah, characters that don't even have names.
All right. Well, yeah, we are going to get into it. It's RoboCop 2. You know, given that it is the holiday season, it may have made more sense to talk about RoboCop 3 because that is a Christmas movie. But who the hell wants to talk about RoboCop 3 when you've got RoboCop 2 still to be talked about? So we're going to get into it. RoboCop 2 released on June 22nd, 1990. And, of course, we all remember the big hype leading up to it when Sting had RoboCop in his corner at Capital Combat. Thankfully, he did as well because he needed him.
And the best part about that is the announcer being like baffled by the strength of RoboCop. Like, you know, Jim, but JR, he was designed to be strong. It's not that impressive. The strength of RoboCop.
JR probably was not too too hip with what was going on in old Detroit at that point in time. Directed by Irvin Kershner. Directed by Irvin Kershner, who, of course, very famous Chad Cruz for being the director of The Empire Strikes Back.
Yep, it's a favorite of most people, I'd say, who enjoy those types of films.
And the show kicks, or the movie kicks off with a commercial, a Magnavolt commercial featuring the great John Glover as the spokesman. And this is kind of like the old club commercial to the extreme.
Before we even talk about the commercial, how crazy is it that a movie starts with a commercial? Could any movie not, you know, tongue in cheek, sci-fi, like ridiculousness, like RoboCop is, or like, you know, Starship Troopers or something like that, where it's like pure satire. Most movies aren't going to start by just showing you a random ass commercial that really doesn't have anything to do with anything.
It's kind of a theme going forward, though, like with OCP and whatnot, that like corporations and shit are kind of moving the world so much so that even this movie is starting with a commercial that's also even in a way like why they're so numb to the violence, too. So it kind of does set a pace in a way, but it is weird.
It's strange.
And then we go right into Media Break, which is another gimmick that the RoboCop movies use and use quite well. We find out a rainforest has been decimated. And I like that they just gloss over these like things that like in today's world, you know, this would be going on 24 hours. Like they would be having everybody who's ever seen a rainforest be at the various news channels and just beating the story to death. But on Media Break, they give them a couple minutes and they give you the world. So we find out the rainforest has been decimated. There's news on the Ed 209, which is still does not seem to be functioning like it's supposed to be. And then guess what? The Surgeon General has been assassinated.
Assassinated, yeah.
Because he
live
spoke
television.
On live TV, yeah. Spoke out against Nuke, and that's what you get. And then we get a video that's been sent in by the man behind Nuke, Kane. That's got to be Kane.
You beat me to it.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I had planned.
Well, there you go.
You can say it later. No one will remember it. We'll just keep doing it over and over again.
We'll get this in post.
Tom Noonan plays Kane, and what a strange-looking individual he is. And I don't know how many horror movies he's done over the years, but he seems like he should be in some horror movies because he is one ugly bastard.
I mean, I don't know him off the top of my head from any horror movies, but I'm not the absolute best with faces, but in my world, he's been Kane since I was 8 years old, so I might not even register to me if I saw him something else.
Was he or was he not the guy from Last Action Hero?
He was.
Again,
Ron Mathis is an action guy.
The House
I'm
of
not.
The Devil.
I'm a RoboCop guy.
That's something.
But yeah, he was the Last Action Hero. And let's talk about, RoboCop, the original. What a rogues gallery they had with Clarence Boddicker and his whole crew and Dick Jones. So they have set the bar very high for villainy in the RoboCop franchise. So you need somebody who looks like a deranged lunatic to be your main bad guy in this one.
Plus, you're taking a jump from a suit and tie bad guy to a drug dealer. So it's like they kind of went to the extreme if he looks like a drug dealer.
Drug dealer / cult leader, really.
Yeah, like a cult guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we still do get, you still get the OCP, head honcho, the old man. Still there.
Corporate America is always evil.
Are they wrong?
No.
Also a theme with the RoboCop movies. That's why I think sometimes where they throw in all the gore, but they're also trying to kind of like, I don't want to say preach to you, but there's always messages like that. Like with the corporation guy, like even like he walks away at the end scot-free. I think they're always trying to get a message snuck in there. And I think it's kind of like that, which, they kind of got it spot on considering that's supposed to be in the future and how things are now. So,
yeah. Again, RoboCop works on multiple levels. The police, they always have a rough go of it here on these RoboCop. They're on strike. OCP has canceled their pension, cut their pay. It almost seems, gentlemen, it seems like maybe OCP wants the police to be on strike. They want chaos on the streets.
No.
For what possible reason?
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's already a shitty enough city without having to do anything, let alone getting rid of all the police officers. So, yeah, I mean, God, it's so funny because when you watch these movies, it's so clear, right, what's happening. And you try to think about, like, if you were a character in this movie and being a police officer and having, like, you know, as a cop, like, you live by a certain code, right? You know, you're supposed to be protecting people in the community and whatnot. But then you start thinking about if someone had actually taken your pension away and you're forced to strike. I don't know what I would do. I've got a pension, right? I work for a city. If someone took all my shit away, I don't know that I would be a RoboCop and his partner out there driving around still fighting crime.
And not just taking their pension too. You got to think, like, even going back to the first movie where they're clearing out your buddy's locker next to you every day because people are getting killed on the streets every day. And whatever future RoboCop, like, they make it seem like it's supposed to be like the near future. I've never been put a finger on exactly when it's happening. But at that point in time, cops are getting picked off every day, and then they're going to take your pension too. So, yeah, I don't blame them. Fact they think the cyborg is a scab and they treat him like he's betraying him. It's like, he's a robot, guys.
Yeah, he
on the other hand. What a...
So I think you do a modern 2023 remake of this, right? Follow me. Instead of police, it's Wendy's employees, and they put the little screen in, right? That takes your order, and they're just like, "God damn, that screen is taking our jobs."
Beating it with the picket sign, scab.
Put tape over it.
I just had some Wendy's for dinner, and let me tell you,
God,
pretzel baconator and a peppermint frosty, excellent. Excellent.
You getting paid right now?
Hmm?
You getting paid to say that right now? If so, I will say the same thing.
Yeah, I am. No, we're always looking for sponsors, but, you know, I think we need more than like six dozen listeners.
Well, stop giving it away for free then.
No one's watching this video. Shit.
Right. We're not on video yet, Chad. So, yeah, the police are on strike. It seems that they want it. And now we get a typical night in old Detroit. Now, let me tell you, I was in Detroit this past summer. And I thought about this scene and I was like, oh, am I going to be in for some trouble when I go to Detroit? But fortunately, everything was fine. At least
you didn't bring your good shopping cart.
I did not bring my shopping cart filled with recyclable cans like this poor old lady has. And the car runs her cans down. Cans are flying. Some supposed do-gooder comes to help her, but just steals her purse. Then the guy who steals the purse gets beat up by two hookers.
Whores.
Who is all right? And you know, they're excited because they got money and now they could buy Nuke.
Poke my eyes out, you bitches.
And just as they walk by the gun store storefront, the whole thing explodes.
That they knew exactly the time somehow. Who was telling the whores their exact
time? I think they were just lucky. I think they just lucked
out. No, they say something. They're like, oh, shit. And then they run by. And in that second, like, it explodes. Like, they knew it was about to happen. Mm. These are some in-the-know whores.
Hey, the oldest profession, right? World's oldest profession.
They've been around a lot. A sixth sense for these types of explosions. Mm-hmm. When an explosion's about to happen, a whore would know.
When it's exploding, the whores be running.
Ooh.
So, you know, there's a bunch of guys who are going to rob this gun store. And, you know, they have all – I mean, they have more than just guns. They've got freaking rocket launchers and bazookas and I mean, military-grade weapons. But as they're loading up, there's sirens. But what the – there's no – there shouldn't be any sirens. There's no cops.
Cops are on strike, stupid.
Very good. And cop car comes, just a single cop car. I think it was Thomas Rosales Jr. shoots the rocket. Car goes out of control.
Yeah.
Car comes to a stop. Oh, let me get this bazooka. Let's blow it up. Yeah. And then, you know, just for good measure, let's do a target practice with our newly gained guns. And they just start unloading. And what happens? What an introduction. It is our
bum,
hero.
Bum, 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 bum.
There you go. The theme hits. Here comes Robo in his new RoboCop 2 suit. It has a little purple tint to it, and the light looks real classy.
He's got the little purple tint. He's got the I think he's got some enhanced movement too. It looks like he's a little less robotic in a way. It looks like he's trying to be a robot more. And the first one, it felt like he just couldn't move. And then now he's like,
used to it. Now he's
doing the robot. Actually,
he's been.
But oh yeah, he straight fucking kills these guys. I mean,
did you guys think growing up that every gun store just sold bazookas? I thought you could go to any gun store and get a bazooka until I was like 29.
29. That's not that's growing up, dude. You know what? Commando told me that supermarkets just like had gun stores hidden in the back. So yeah,
and movies are misleading.
They are. They can be very misleading.
Or maybe times have just changed for the worse. You know,
I still can't get a bazooka that easily, though.
You want a bazooka?
I don't want one. I just
give me 20 minutes.
I probably shouldn't. I probably 20 minutes. Tell them to leave it on the porch.
Amazon to drop it right off for you.
Your bazooka's been delivered.
I'll take a picture of it. Oh shit.
So the cops, they are on strike. Robo is not. There is one guy that is left standing. So he's like asking him, where is this? Because he sees Nuke in their front seat. These guys were all nuked up. That's why they had the balls to go blow up a freaking gun shop and steal.
Where is it made?
Excellent. And
this is what I'm good for, guys.
This is like we got
it's like we have PL.
I was gonna say, look, we have PL just doing all the lines, and you know this movie by heart, which is again why you were chosen for this.
I fell asleep watching it this afternoon in preparation for this, so I figured that would help.
So when you stopped,
Kane wasn't dead when I fell asleep, if that helps.
We'll know right away when you fell asleep.
When he no longer has anything to say, we'll know.
I don't know, you really might know the difference. I didn't need to watch it again.
That's true. You've seen it quite a few times. So guy tells him where he doesn't know where it's made, but this is where I get it. So Robo's right on the case, and he's going to go. He knocks on the door politely, but they don't answer right away. So he just punches his way through, which is something Robo can do. He sees the nuke manufacturing process, and this is where I'm sure Chad Cruz was disappointed that the women working there didn't have their tops off like so often.
Because he's a stickler for accuracy, right?
I demand accuracy, and I demand nipples. I need exposed nipples in my life. It's just, I mean, I'm married with three kids. I got to see as many nipples as I can because.
Well, maybe there should be a Friday the 13th podcast then.
Judy Aronson?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a chance.
Love my life.
I know she is, Chad. But you're a married man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. Stop
and reminding not to me. My anniversary.
And not to her. So, you know, we also can, he kind of gets a look at the main villains, including Kane. And that's what he thought. And so then he's like, all right, you're all under arrest. But, of course, they're not just going to go quietly. They fight back. Old Nancy Allen is back as Lewis, and she's there. Total scab, just there for backup, though. She's a great – you got to give it to her. She may be a scab, but to Murphy, she is, like, the perfect partner. She's always
That's
there.
The way I looked at it. She's being loyal to Murphy.
Right.
I mean,
but you know, scab. Those brothers and sisters in the department are going to look at her differently. I mean, not just because of her hairstyle. She's got like that fucking, I don't know. Like if you were an alien and you were pretending to be human, you'd have a wig on that looked like that. Like Mars Attacks. It was like the Mars Attacks wig. Did we do that movie? I felt like we should have.
We probably should.
I think I reviewed it once.
You did. You think you may have done a 10 things as well.
I think three people read that. So we probably could do another episode on it.
We're probably due for it. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. She, I have like mixed feelings about her because I love her in the first film and this movie, I feel like she's just there a lot, you know, she just kind of appears and she gets beat up by a kid. And then,
yeah.
I never really thought about that, but you're kind of right. Because like I said, sometimes I got to stop and think because I look at these movies with the mind of a fucking 10-year-old and just Lewis is here and she's awesome. But now that you mention it, you're right. She really doesn't play much of a factor in anything in the second one.
She humanizes him so much in the first film. I mean, the whole first movie to me is about humanizing RoboCop. How can we see him more as Murphy and less as a robot, right? You know, he's we get flashbacks of his family. We get, Lewis trying to tell him about him, like tell him about Murphy, tell him who he is and kind of teach him to be a cop again, instead of being just like a robotic computer. And in this movie, she's just like, fuck it. Like, I'll just drive you around or ride with you, whatever.
Yeah, she's like his ride or die in this, and that's about it.
Which is plus it builds to like in this one, the humanizing of maybe it's just more the whole station has his back by this point, by the time he gets stripped down, he hasn't just won her over. He's got everyone looking at him as a partner and not a robot.
And I think this kind of goes throughout the whole film, is that the movie feels like it was like two or three movies kind of like cut up and placed into one. Because you have that like that scene where he sees his wife, we'll talk about it later, where he sees his wife, his ex-wife. And that's got some emotional weight to it. And then it's over and it's just like, okay.
Clearly never touched on again. Yeah.
That happened. But
well, this I know they like had a rush. They wanted to capitalize and get this out as soon as possible. So I think there were probably a couple drafts and they probably took a little bit from all of them and said, here's our movie. Let's go shoot it and make some money. Because
we're going to get them fighting a bigger robot. Like we'll get to everything else as we get there.
Right.
We do meet young Hob, played by Gabriel Damon, who I just spoke to Mr. Paul London before this podcast began. And he wanted me to let everyone know that Gabriel Damon is a real estate agent now in Los Angeles area, high end real estate.
Okay, of course, yeah.
So
I wonder if he still has a potty mouth.
I bet he does. I bet he does. He was a very smart kid, so maybe I was legit. Maybe he's he got himself a good gig and out of the dirty world of Hollywood.
He's dying in the back of a truck,
right?
And speaking of kids, can we talk about Robo saving the lovely, beautiful little baby.
The baby with his nice shooting.
With his mathematical, like the fucking the trajectory of the bullet. I love it. It's like one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, and it's so small. Such a tight little scene. It's good.
The dude does an awesome fall down too when the bullet hits him in the back of the head, because he has to do the delayed fall so they can get the baby as he goes down. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent bump.
It's like the handoff / bump. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like the back of his head explodes. If you were holding a cake and you slipped on the ice, I bet you would take like the best bump ever.
Yeah, a cake would be fine.
The candles.
That scene would be a lot funnier if that was a cake instead of a baby. I'm taking the fucking baby. We can't have that.
Just icing.
So we get the baby is saved. It's not a cake. It's a baby. Next day, we see Robo.
Wait, Brian, time out.
Yep.
Quick rebook here.
Here we go. Chad Cruz rebooking. Go for it.
He catches the baby, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Catches the baby. Not Lewis. Okay, we'll have Lewis. Lewis is there. She catches the baby. Whatever. Starts to walk away. RoboCop, we can't have that, right? He starts to walk away, and this is a jar of baby food there.
Yeah,
and he looks around. And he takes it with him. Boom, because he loves
baby. Because he eats baby food. I get it.
Yeah.
Just give me 8 seconds in the movie. I don't need. That's plenty.
Yeah.
Slide that in there.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Robo is.
Do you get a brain because he eats baby food?
I know.
I don't think he gets it.
He didn't get it. God, stupid. He's so stupid.
We'll revisit it later. You'll get it.
Yeah, maybe late in the evening, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh, ho! Hilarious. So Robo's outside his ex-wife's home. Sees the son riding his bike, coming home. Wife goes out, checks the mail, and he's just like, she's kind of freaked out. And we find out, she has made a complaint to OCP about this police officer that keeps hanging around their house. This robot police officer, no less, that's just hanging out. And the lawyer shows up, and basically they remind Robo that his wiener doesn't work anymore. Mm. And that he really is not going to be much use to this woman. And then he even put him on tape. Like, you have to admit on tape that you're a freaking machine. Do it. And he does. And then they're like, okay, let's bring in Mrs. Murphy. And he gives her what I would call cold-hearted closure. He just kind of, no, lady, I'm not, this is, I'm just a tribute to your dead husband.
Right.
They made me, and I'm cold.
It's a, man, it, you know, when you think about the scene, if it were happening in real life and you were to look at your, you know, dead spouse or whatever, but it's just their face, like, it's pretty fucked up, really. It's like just Murphy's face on this robot.
Right.
And it looks like, yeah,
they could have put his visor back on.
Yeah, that's what they should have. I would have been like, dude, she's going to freak out if she sees just like someone just sliced her face off and put it on this fucking robot. But whatever.
Yeah.
It was
like, they also spend that entire scene telling him that he's a robot and all that. And then the right before, they're like, can we give them some privacy? It's like, you just made him admit he's not a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's lawyers for you.
It's tough.
They're a slippery bunch.
Lawyers treat robots like shit. I've always said that.
But you know, if you had gone in at the end of the film and, you know, his wife had shown up at something and kind of like given him that support at the end and just brought this kind of full circle, right? Otherwise, the movie just kind of like, well, he has this very emotional scene where he just basically cuts complete and all ties with his ex-life. And then,
or even something where like he drives by and she like she's got another man there and he's playing with the kids in the yard and she has moved on. Give the character some closure, something, anything. Yeah, someone kidnaps her and he has to save her. Anything.
The silhouette in the bedroom, right? Of like,
geez, here we go.
Just like
getting down.
Huge guy, big guy,
railer.
Just behind her, just. Whew. Just taking her to.
Then RoboCop, we can't have that. Ricochets a bullet all right off the back of his head.
It bounces like three things. It's a toilet bowl.
I thought I was ready to move on. I'm not. Sorry.
The theme music plays. Dun, 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 dun,
ba, 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 ba. Yeah. He's not moving on.
See you again in RoboCop 3.
Not Peter Weller. All right. We'll move on, and we get a OCP communications commercial where a guy picks the wrong communication service, so therefore kills himself, which is a very that'd grab your attention type commercial.
Like, yeah, I Googled it to see if I could switch, but it wasn't a real thing.
Yeah.
That's how good the commercial was.
I was going to say, see if he made it.
He did not. OCP headquarters, Mayor Kuzak, played by Willard E. Pugh, and Councilman Poulos, played by Phil Rubenstein, who pops up in some things. I'll always remember him as one of the executives from a fantastic film known as Back to School. Absolutely love that film.
It's a good. I don't remember him, though. Maybe it's been a while
since. It's the board. It's in the beginning, in the boardroom where they're all.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in there. And that's the type of stuff he just kind of pops in these little roles. This is one of his bigger roles, actually.
Yeah.
Johnson is there. Felton Perry, who he also likes the baby food from the original.
Yeah.
We see the lawyer again, Holes Gang. Nice name. And, of course, the old man, who we just always know as the old man, played by Dan O'Herlihy, famous for Halloween 3 and The Last Starfighter. And the father, of course, of Gavin O'Herlihy, the main villain in the greatest film of all time. We know it as Death Wish 3.
Yes.
So we find out basically that OCP cut a deal with the mayor, and the mayor had to make payments to keep things going, and he has not made those payments because Detroit is not good with their money. And that's actually true. So they're going to foreclose, and they're going to take Detroit private, and boy, can Mayor Kuzak flip his lid like nobody's business.
Yeah. I don't know what other movies this guy's in, but he certainly plays like a memorable character. I don't know if it's partially because he goes nuts all the time. Like, he's always like,
he's like,
bullshit, you see now, old bastard.
Yeah, he flips out. And there are multiple times where I don't feel like he should even be in the room. But I'm glad that he is because he's so animated. Like, he like
lifts
everything up. But I don't think he's a very good mayor.
No.
I think he's a
shitty
mayor. I think
that's the whole point, isn't it? don't know. Bankrupted the city. I think that's the idea.
I know, but like, doesn't he kind of have like some momentum at the end? Like, cause he's kind of like taking down OCP and he's bringing it back. You know, I'm saving Detroit. I'm trying to do whatever I can. So I feel like they're like push. He's getting a push.
But the city's still $31 million in debt at the end too, though. So he really hasn't done shit.
And as soon as the old man comes out of the building at the end, the reporters ignore him again and go after that story. So
it's like Reigns guy, Tito Santana is getting the big babyface push for the World Heavyweight Championship. And he just stinks. He's just not good.
What are you saying? Why would you say that about Tito?
Sorry.
And when did Tito ever get a world title push?
That's what I'm saying. This isn't a real thing that happened. I'm saying
how 30 minutes into RoboCop 2 did this turn into burying Tito Santana? What the hell happened?
Because Chad Cruz is jealous. I mean, what title did he ever win? Tito Santana was one of the greatest intercontinental champions of all time, a tag team champion with Rick Martel and Strike Force.
I think that's the thing where you're a little bit older than us. Like when we were growing up, like he was already just losing at every WrestleMania. Yeah,
that's probably true too.
I understand that, but there's no call for that. See,
it's his boy. That was a
Strike Force Productions.
I struck a nerve. 108 episodes.
Last one.
Ron Mathis, would you like to start being my permanent co-host on this program?
We're going to have to hard to find action movies I've seen. Can everyone be about face-off?
That might be the gimmick. Like you'd be seeing these things for the first time, and I have watched them 9,015 times. So we'd have the old school and the new view.
New eyes and old man.
Thank you.
Are you trying to sell me on this right now?
Yeah, I want you to actually.
Oh, let me tell you what. Chad Cruz is always looking to get out of work. I can assure you of that. Mayor flips out. Johnson then has to turn the subject to the RoboCop 2 program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that they say the term RoboCop 2 multiple times in RoboCop 2 delights me to no end.
Genius. Because
you don't get that in sequels too often. We talked about it with Deathstalker 2, where they kind of found a workaround and they worked. But this is straight up. Like they're saying RoboCop 2 because this is the 2.0 version. But boy, one of the things that always disturbed me about this was like how shitty the first design was so cool. It's like you're going backwards. These new designs absolutely suck. So I'm glad they're not working out because you have perfection with the Alex Murphy model RoboCop. And then you've got these weird looking like rejected Star Wars droids.
And how's kind of like the RoboCop 1 is like fully conversational and RoboCop 2 is supposed to be an upgrade and none of them can even say a word.
Right.
Now, if you were to develop a product, let's just say you made whatchamacallit?
A widget?
A widget.
A candy bar?
Yes, you made a candy bar. You made a widget and you deemed it unsuccessful. So you made a second widget. Would you call it Widget 2? Wouldn't you come up with a different name? Like if you're like, fucking RoboCop sucked. Like we got to replace RoboCop. We'll just call it RoboCop 2. Like, wouldn't you?
I don't think the idea was that RoboCop sucked. I think it was that it's a success, so let's keep going.
Like if
I felt like they were trying to get like, let's get rid of this dude by pushing him out with a better model.
Exactly. Like when you
upgrade your iPhone, it's not because your iPhone sucks. It's because there's a better iPhone.
Right. That's true. But I'm thinking, like, if I'm going to replace Chad Cruz,
me too.
I'm not going to have my next co-host be called Chad Cruz II or Chad Cruz Jr.
Yeah,
it's going to be called Ron Mathis. So, you know, we're not going to have Chad Cruz II or new Chad Cruz. So
what if you did get a Chad Cruz II and the first episode he rips his own head off?
Oh God!
Well, now that we definitely would need to make the move to video, and we'd probably actually get some traction with that.
But then you'd be on the Chad Cruz 3, which just it becomes it's more watered down by that point.
Exactly.
Just like
which Chad Cruz replacement do we get addicted to nuke though?
Oh, why use the replacement?
Yeah, maybe that's where the first one's got to go. So yeah, we see this.
I use this like little thing I got here.
Put it in your neck, yeah.
It's a super glue, actually.
$90 million they've spent on this and all down the drain. We meet Dr. Fax, played by Belinda Bauer. She thinks she can help, and the old man is intrigued by her.
I got a bad feeling about this one.
Possibly in more ways than one. So penis. now we're gonna meet Officer Duffy, played by Stephen Lee, who I believe just passed away earlier this year. Now, Ron Mathis, you had to remember Stephen Lee from at least one horror movie.
I'm not great with faces, so you might be about to blow my mind, possibly, if you're saying you have one, because I'm really bad with faces.
He was in Dolls.
And okay, I haven't seen that in a long time.
He was the security guard in Ghoulies Go to College.
Oh, Jesus. You don't remember this?
Those are deep cuts. Those are deep cuts, all right.
He was in Puppet Master 11, Back to the Third Reich.
No. So we meet him. He's on Nuke, so that immediately tells you he's probably not the most reputable cop in old Detroit.
You're a rotten cop, Officer Duffy.
All three of us are in the state of the great state of Ohio. Wasn't Nuke just legalized with the recent election?
I think they got Nuke dispensary down the street.
Nuke that got it, but
oh, it wasn't. Okay.
Damn. Either way, it's going in my neck. I love me some Nuke.
And no one's forcing you to have it. You know,
that's true. I agree.
You know, and it's clean. Clean. It's not.
I don't know where it's made. I just know where I get it.
It's made in America.
We're going to make that mean something again.
Yeah. Which is said by both the hero. Yeah.
Like
both
Kane and the old man says
both
it.
Villains. Yeah. Say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking to that scared scientist. Yeah.
Murphy and Lewis are now on the case. They've tracked down Hob, and he's at an arcade pushing Nuke, and that's where they see Duffy. And he's meeting with Hob, and you realize, Chad, this guy is selling out his fellow cops. They've got the whole listening. They've got the surveillance equipment out. They know what's up. They know Duffy is up to no good.
Yeah.
And that's when Robo's like, all right, I'm going in. Enters the arcade, sees all the kids there. Do the line, Mathis.
Isn't this a school night?
Day.
Well, shit.
Isn't this a school day?
And all the kids start. I was asleep by that point. The fact I got close, give me some credit here.
Oh, and they're throwing garbage at them.
It's great. Yeah. I just miss those old arcades like that, you know.
Good for slamming dirty cops' faces into.
Oh yeah, he beats the hell out of Duffy. And you know what? If you're going to get a guy on the inside, if you're a criminal and you want to have an inside scoop on what's happening, don't get the big fat fucking idiot who's addicted to drugs. Like, there's got to be somebody else. Like they said, don't you know we have other people? Like, maybe use those guys because he's an idiot.
Well, obviously, at some point they're going to have to, based on what's about to happen.
After dissecting, yeah.
Duffy gives up Kane's location after getting the shit kicked out of him. It's, of course, at the old sludge plant because I guess they were making sludge back in the day and they decided, the sludge industry isn't what it used to be. Let's close up shop and
Factory used to keep this town afloat, but then they packed up and moved and it's old Detroit's went down ever since. And that's the beginning of that's how it all started. The old sludge factory went under. That's why we're where we are.
I think we need a prequel to this whole situation where we learn about the sludge factory going out, OCP moving in, maybe young Alex Murphy at the police academy and how great he is.
That sludge was made in America.
Maybe his dad worked at the sludge factory.
That's possible.
Maybe everybody's dad worked at the sludge factory.
I bet Kane was a newly hired employee at the sludge plant. And lost his job. And after that, just kind of lost his way.
Had to turn to Nuke.
Got
into amphetamines that are of lesser quality made in other places that aren't in America. And decided that if I'm gonna pump this stuff into my veins, I might as well be making it here in America with American employees. And by God, I'll make it with a good ingredients, brain.
Right.
My daddy made sludge, I make nuke. It's just how the cookie crumbles.
We should also mention, you guys kind of brought it up earlier. We had the Hobb versus Lewis matchup here where she can't even handle a kid.
It is kind of weird because she does so well. In the first movie, I remember her getting shot multiple times. And she's a tough cop. She's a good cop. She's always got RoboCop's back. And sometimes she's leading the charge. And later in the film, she does some real heroic shit. But when she's fighting a nine-year-old, buddy, that nine-year-old takes her back. And she just can't get off.
That's because that's what I've kind of taken from it. It's because she was trying to subdue him without hurting him. Had she just been willing to, you know, pound his fucking face in, I don't know if I want to say that, sorry. But if she was just willing to beat him mercilessly, maybe she could have done something, but she was – maybe. But then again, maybe it's just because I think Lewis is cool, so I want her to be able to beat up a nine-year-old. But maybe she should hold him back.
What's funny is if she was holding back, that's literally the first – character in any of the films that they don't murder. You know, like RoboCop just like walks in and starts beating the fuck out of people and he literally punches his way through a door earlier. I love robots, but that's not police.
But they also saved that baby cake. Maybe they all just have soft spots for kids.
Yeah.
What an adorable cake. I mean, baby.
You like cake.
I mean, baby.
So Robo goes to the old sludge plant, just like Duffy told him about, and car pulls in, car blows up, but Robo wasn't inside. Did a little the old switcheroo, which is probably hard to do when you walk like friggin' Frankenstein, but he managed to do it. So Robo's now
turning the Scooby-Doo twinkle toe noise when he's sneaking now.
He's inside now looking for Kane. We find out Kane's a big Elvis fan.
Who isn't, right? Am I right?
Are we to believe he actually dug up and stole his body? Like, is that supposed to actually? I've wondered this for 35 years, what I'm supposed to believe is going on at this point. Like, did he steal his body or he just got a skeleton and put a wig on it? Like, no, what the hell is going on there?
He's got the bones of Elvis Presley. Yeah.
That's a weird thing to just put in there.
You know who had a massive Elvis Presley collection?
Who's that, Chad?
Eddie Murphy. He had a huge, one of the biggest Elvis collections like in the world at one point. And then he started selling all the things.
He eBayed it. Yeah.
He realized that he was a grown man collecting things from another grown man. And he like.
How many bones did he have?
That's a good question. We should have him on.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure that'd be easy.
Yeah, but we'll talk Beverly Hills Cop.
I'll get his people on the horn tomorrow and see if we
can. You guys just needed a reason, right? That was the only hurdle with getting him on here.
Yeah. We should talk Shrek with him.
I'll be like, we just had Ron Mathis on, so you know we've got the A-list of celebrities coming on this program. Come on, Eddie. You know you want to. We've got he's inside. He spots Kane's lady, Angie. And then when he turns the corner, he's face to face with Kane. And next thing you know, though, Hobb, quite the shot. Well, he's also using a machine gun, so it'd be hard to miss. He shoots off his hand. Angie's got this electrocution gimmick. She's zapping him. Then they bring out
the old electrocution gimmick.
Yeah, then they bring out the big ass magnet.
It's great. It's so comical.
And then next thing you know, the goons are strapping Robo down to a table and just going to work on him with a sledgehammer like they're freaking Triple H. You know, good bastard.
Whoa, that was – I'm pretty sure that was Cody Rhodes with the sledgehammer.
Oh, that's true. Cody's got a sledgehammer now.
Now, all this
– he doesn't have a family. He's just a machine.
It's so easy to take out RoboCop. Like, they do it so easily.
That was a good plan. It was easy because it was a well-executed plan.
Right.
I know. It was so well-planned. I wonder if Hobb did that. I bet it's Hobb.
He's good. He's a smart kid. Probably Hobb. Smart cookie. Sledgehammer. They jackhammer his joints. They saw through his armor. Then they take the pieces and parts and just dump it outside the police station. And that's when everybody kind of – that's what you had mentioned, Matt. It's like everybody's like, oh, my – you know – the solidarity was there, like not Robo. And then they're like, yeah, they're panicking and getting him.
So let me quick rebooking. Instead of dumping it at the police station, dump it at his wife's house.
But do they know that's his wife?
Everybody knows he's Alex Murphy, right? Dump it there. Oh, a big emotional moment.
Do people outside of the police force actually know?
I don't know.
Who the robot, what cop the robot's attached to? I don't know if anyone really knows that outside.
They probably don't even know if he was a real guy at one
I mean, they got people inside the force, though, inside the department.
That's true. A good point. Duffy, unless they were just lying to Duffy about having other guys.
That could be true. But all right, I'll just go fuck myself. Never mind.
Go for it.
so we can say fuck.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want on this program.
That's how I know you haven't listened to any other episodes.
I don't like action movies.
Don't you like us? Don't you want to hear us?
I don't blame you.
Okay.
About the topic I'm interested in, I would have listened to this one probably.
I hope you do. Do it as many times as you want. Dozens of times if you wish. So yeah, he's out there. The tech, they bring him in. The techs believe Robo is suffering. His pain sensors are going crazy.
Lit up like Christmas trees.
Lit up like, ooh, nice. Very good. Very timely. Mm-hmm.
Why would you put pain sensors on though?
I don't, that doesn't make sense.
Because they're sadists.
I'm like, ah, why did you make me feel pain? I'm a robot.
Yeah, I'm a robot. You could have eliminated this.
Yeah, why'd you put the sensors on there?
Fools.
They should put pleasure sensors on him. That's what they should. Where he gets
then
shot.
Then he could have offered his wife companionship.
Right. That's right. Have, like, vibrated against her. They could have, like, scissored or something.
They got the jackhammer, and he's like, oh. He's just like,
they would have just quit doing it because they've been uncomfortable.
Like, stop it. Quit.
Have the kid leave.
Have the boy leave.
Let's he can watch the dude get gutted, but we don't want the kid watching the robot get off. Let's get him out of here.
Yeah, so, and of course, you got Hull's gang there representing OCP. And he's like, maybe we'll help him. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll do. Yeah, he's very noncommittal. Now we find out that Duffy has to pay for selling out Kane. And they're going to perform an autopsy on Duffy.
Yeah.
The problem is, he's not dead. So that's
a, which means really, you know, I can tell you how he died from the autopsy. It's kind of unnecessary.
They put the wagon before the horse, so to speak. And Kane makes young Hob watch to make a man out of him, I suppose. I don't know. Dr. Fax, meanwhile, has the bright idea that maybe we should use criminals for our new RoboCop program. Death row inmates, in fact, and the pictures on the computer that she's looking at are actually the crew members,
right?
Including director Irvin Kershner.
And now most of them are probably actually criminals
or dead. Dr. Shank, of course, is there, and he's been the doctor in charge of this. He's like, no, you can't do that. But you know, she knows she's got the old man in her back pocket. She's pretty sure of herself, and she knows she's going to get her way.
I love that nerdy doctor's wearing that sling the entire movie, from where he gets shot in the arm from the failed RoboCop 2.
He sells it the whole time. If he was an AEW doctor, he'd be bounced right back up after about 2.5 minutes.
Just healed.
Yeah.
You got to be ready for the next collision or whatever.
Right. So Johnson's like, what? This is crazy. This is a crazy plan. I have to go tell the old man who is in his hot tub room at the corporate headquarters. It's like Japanese garden or something he's got going on.
He's rich.
He is. And he's like, did you hear? Oh, I already know, because Fax is his tub buddy.
Right behind you.
Rub a dub dub, the two of them in the tub.
You saw them nipples finally there, Chad.
Was there a nipple?
Those old man's nipples were prominent.
Oh, his nipples. Yeah.
Right above the water.
I guess if there's no other nipples, it might as well be.
Hey, man, they're pink, brother. They are pink.
You know what? it's interesting because at this point in the movie, I start to see this guy, and I'm like, okay, he's obviously a villain, right? He's a bad guy, but I also like hot tubs and women. So we're already starting to like.
He became relatable to you.
Yeah, I get it. I get it a little bit. So.
All right,
man. Well, it doesn't take much for you to relate to the villains, does it?
No.
So I'm eating a Big Mac, and I'm really into Big Mac. So I'm thinking genocide ain't that bad.
I get where they the starting place. Where it. Well, I'm trying to bring.
You know, I used to think Hitler was a bad guy, and then I saw him playing putt putt, and I fucking love putt putt.
We have to bring ourselves closer together. That way we can, you know, we can truly heal.
Common right? ground. That's common the ground. Solution. Is common ground.
That's what it is.
I heard that. Let's I heard go. That's going to be the next AEW pay per view. Brain.
What's that? Common ground.
AEW common ground.
Yeah. AEW in the ground. Anyway, Holes Gang comes to pick up the Robo pieces. Because Fax has a plan for RoboCop, and she's going to update RoboCop's program. She gets a focus group together, and what can we make RoboCop do? And they all pick stupid, dumb crap that RoboCop shouldn't be doing, like talk to kids about this and that. And I don't know.
Address ecological issues.
Yeah. Help the Cub Scouts and whatnot. Things that really are shouldn't be in his wheelhouse, but they're going to make it be in his wheelhouse. So basically we're building a kinder, gentler RoboCop.
It would probably be closer to what an actual, like if they made like a RoboCop now, it would be like a PR stunt. Like it would be that.
Right.
It wouldn't be a guy like punching doors in and smashing.
Well, it wouldn't be a guy at all. It'd be gender neutral.
It would be a thing, a they, them, and it would not be going into arcades and grabbing other they, thems and smashing
right
their faces. It would be talking to kids about sexuality and robot stimulation and whatever. I don't know what else.
Singing little songs about being yourself.
Yeah.
So Robo's now back to work. They built them. They reprogrammed him. He's back to work, but he is definitely not the RoboCop we know and love.
This is a funny stretch.
Yeah, so Lewis then is like, okay, come on, let's go, Murphy. There's a robbery in progress at an electronics store, and the robbery is being done by a Little League team and their coach.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the coach opens fire as soon as the cops show up. He gets shot, which Robo then decides to read his corpse, the Miranda rights. Yeah,
finally.
Good stuff. The way he's pointing at him, the lean and the point, makes that so funny.
Following police procedure to the letter.
Then he goes by the collar. He's just really giving him the business.
And he would have kept doing it, but Lewis tips him off like, hey, he's dead. You don't need to do that. He's a corpse.
I'm having trouble.
Right. Then he goes inside and he decides to lecture these young hooligans, these thieves that have just destroyed this electronic store, beat up the owner. It's a sad situation to see Robo just a shell of himself. And the kids are like, they have no respect for him.
No. Why would you? I mean, you're such a pussy now.
I believe the line is, go fuck a refrigerator, Peckerneck.
You believe it.
That might be at the fire hydrant, but it's in this little way, this general area.
Right. And they do. Yeah. We then go, all right, well, let's see what else we could find. What else is going on in old Detroit today?
And isn't the moon lovely tonight?
And it's during the day. Yeah. He's out of his mind and won't speed, won't go even a mile over the speed limit.
No.
You should set an
example. Not a fan of smoking. Not a fan of smoking.
Yeah, that he's extreme about. Yeah, doesn't want the kids playing in the fire hydrant because haste makes waste or whatever.
For time is sweeter. A rolling stone is worth two. That's as far as I can go. I don't remember the rest.
And so those kids, they paint spray paint kick me on his back. Not spelled correctly, but that's all right. It's told the story that it needed to. And so, yeah, at this point, Lewis is like, we got to get Robo back to the lab because he's not right. And the labs take a look, all these new programs in there. They're trying to think, well, how could we get rid of these things? Well, if we pull his cerebral cortex, the whole, he could just die. And, well, maybe if he had enough voltage in him, that would fry the programming. And Robo hears that, goes outside, and he takes matters into his own hands, Chan Cruz.
Yeah, he just goes outside and he finds like the main electrical fucking panel or whatever it is outside. It just grabs it, just electrocutes the shit out of himself. And, you know, lucky for us, he's basically back to being the original RoboCop again. I mean, it was that simple. It really, yeah. You know.
You would think it would have erased everything and like they would reprogram, but like somehow it just went to factory settings.
Yeah, it was like the last 10 minutes of the movie. It didn't mean anything. It's perfect.
But it was funny.
It was.
Right. Funny. Right.
This is where the police force actually really rallies behind him because they all pick him up with their picket signs. Then they go after Kane.
Right. Because they're like, he gets up and he's like,
put me down.
Right. I want Kane. And yeah, then they all.
The Are cops, we cops?
Right. He gets them going and those cops come in hot. The hot dog.
They're going to whoop somebody's ass.
Yeah, the hot dog vendor.
That was the best part.
And he was
to this day. Anytime I see a cop driving fast, I say that to this day, and I always will.
I thought you were also going to say anytime you saw a hot dog vendor. And he was a legit hot dog vendor, by the way.
Was he?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen a hot dog vendor outside of like a baseball game.
Really?
Just on the street? No.
Street meat dog.
Street meat dog. Street meat dog. That's some words strung together, all right.
So. Yeah, they come in. We get a big shootout at Kane's headquarters, the old sludge factory. If you recall from earlier in our episode, and Kane decides, well, I better get the hell out of here. He gets in his like quasi futuristic truck and just runs right over RoboCop, who hangs on to the thing. They're driving. They go through like a bar. He's in an alley scraping the wall with Robo on the side. Finally gets Robo off by smashing him into a telephone pole. Then we get RoboCop on a freaking motorcycle.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
That was like completely like, let's sell a toy where RoboCop.
Yeah, let's say, that's got to be a toy, right?
Yeah. That was
when they're revving the engines at each other and they make the very distinctive sounds.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So there we go. We give the chase. Kane ends up worse for wear in there. And as the media break will tell us, he may not live to face the trial. So he really got fucked up in that crash.
Good.
Piece of shit.
We get a Sunblock 5000 commercial featuring a lot of vagina. Then we get Fax, who sees this Kane story and is like, oh, he'd be perfect because we can control him with Nuke. Where did this woman come from?
Exactly. Like with her, like, can you do some outside the box thinking? Every one of her ideas is so obvious. Like, let's serial killer, put it in a robot, keep it addicted to drugs. Duh. Like, can we try something new?
And she was a psychologist, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, is that even
perfect like to build a robot?
Is that, perfect to build a robot. Is that even like a real science, guys?
It's certainly not an exact science.
What does your psychiatrist say, Brain?
I don't have a psychiatrist. I should probably have one.
I'm thinking maybe you should.
The fact that I've voluntarily worked with you for the past 9 years.
My psychiatrist constantly telling me to kill myself so she can put my brain in a robot.
She hints like you, maybe if you thought about it, have considered
she wants me to think it's my idea. I think
that's usually the trick you always want to try. So Kane's lady, like Angie, she's like, oh, we got to rescue Kane. But Hobbs like, screw him.
Okay.
I'm in charge now, baby. I got the plan. I got this all figured out. I'm taking over the nuke business.
You find it odd there, though, he uses the nuke to control her to get her to bail on Kane. But they've established this entire movie. Nuke is fucking everywhere.
So yeah, awesome.
It's weird that he's controlling her with it.
Well, maybe she's not the smartest of people, you know.
Well, she turned to a life of crime.
She did.
What are so? What, have we learned the negative effects of Nuke yet?
No drugs have any negative effects. Drugs are great.
Okay, I'm just trying to be certain, be clear here.
Yeah, I'm on meth right now.
they really did not.
You know what I mean? Like
go into that. Yeah,
they should have shown like they should have been driving down the street and be like, "What happened to Detroit? What happened to the city? These people they'll do anything for the drugs for Nuke, and it's really destroyed families." And like they could have just inserted that somewhere, or like. Everybody who's is all fucked up, like their eyes, like dying or something.
They may have tried to rush through it a little bit, like at that beginning sequence, because when the horrors stomp that dude's eye in, they immediately say, "Nuke me, baby." So it's like it's responsible for a lot of crime. So they may have tried to and just kind of rush through it.
I think that would probably be you get hooked on it and you want more of it.
It's so good. You want more of it.
You need money, and you're willing to do whatever you have to do to get the money to buy.
I want some fucking Nuke right now, so I get it. Jamal was talking about it. Like I kind of want to try some Nuke, so I get it.
So yeah, I think it maybe it's kind of a cause and effect type thing.
Because you know, like real amphetamines are like
physically kill you.
It will fuck you up real bad. So. Yeah.
I think it's just what people will do to get it.
Because they run a robot with Nuke, which seems like an alternate fuel source to me.
Right.
Yeah. How's he getting high?
I don't know.
Like, what's a robot craving about? He doesn't have veins anymore, does he?
RoboCop 2, dog.
That's a good question. Probably a question we're not supposed to be asking. We're probably just supposed to be like, yes. Of course, the robot.
Because you're not supposed to watch it as many times as I've watched it. That's the problem.
that could be too. So we see Fax. She pulls the plug on Kane, and then it's time to remove his brain. Meanwhile, the mayor, very desperate for money, is holding a telethon, and we get a contortionist fiddler who's just
and born to be wild on the violin.
Born to be wild and. Angie calls in with the proposition, and that damn councilman, not any like seconds later, it feels like is in the OCP office, like, hey, somebody's gonna bail us out, so your whole plan is gonna get screwed up. But hey, now that I told you, you could do something about it, and oh, can I have a job?
Yeah,
when that's all over. So he was covering his own ass there. And they are like, well, you know what? We've got this freaking new RoboCop thing. Let's have him do surveillance on the mayor and see what he's up to. And that's where we see the deal. Hob has got this all figured out. He's going to give the mayor $50 million, a nice even $50 million to cover the expense and have a little extra. Buy yourself something pretty, mayor. But this is where Kane comes in. We see the new RoboCop 2 with Kane inside, crashes the party, and it's just people are dying left and right here, except for the mayor. He makes it out alive.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know. So there were three films, correct? And then how many seasons of this different series?
There may have only been – there was like four – it was like a four-part mini-series, and then I think it was one season of the actual show.
Okay. By the end of the season, are they still trying to shoot small-caliber submachine guns at the robots? Because it doesn't work. It's unbelievable how many people die just from like, and they just get like annihilated. I don't know.
I don't know what else they would have done at that point, though, you know?
You just run.
Well, he had them locked up in that factory place. The idea until the mayor found that, a sewage pipe he rode down into the ocean or whatever.
I think the lake. I don't think Detroit.
The lake. The old Detroit ocean.
Shut up, brain.
They don't call me Ronnie the Brain. I don't know the difference between an ocean and a lake. I'm not a psychologist.
What?
But it's like college, you're building robots here.
All I'm saying is small weapon.
Think of a different strategy,
Not going to work, guys. Figure it out.
It's kind of like the old Superman.
Get your goddamn magnets out.
It's kind of like the old Superman show. They'd always try to shoot him, the bullets would bounce off, and they would just throw the gun at him, and that's what it worked. Yeah. But that was the only thing like he would dodge though. He would stand right. there for the bullet. Yeah. Boom, boom, then they throw the gun. He'd be like, whoop. I don't want that.
And then he'd get that crick in his neck, you know. Like,
yeah. Ah.
I might leave a bruise.
Yeah. So yeah, it could be maybe kryptonite.
Kane also crushes the shit out of his girlfriend's head at that part. He does. That's pretty cool.
She tries to get all erotic with him.
Nice. Yeah, she's gonna jerk him off and he's like, oh no.
Right.
She's like, which one of these receptacles here is this your fluids?
Yeah. Secretions. Make sure we get the word secretion. We have the word secretion in as many of these episodes as possible, Mr. Mathis.
We didn't miss this one.
Yeah, we got it. So she just gets her, basically puts the iron claw on her and twists her head and just tosses her around.
I think he was trying to do that to her so that she would become RoboCop 3 and then they could live in RoboCop harmony.
Yeah, together. That'd be nice.
Rom-com. Robo-rom-com.
Oh, it's been established that RoboCops don't have dicks.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, remember? He had admitted on camera, I don't have a dick.
But you just have to, you just add it as an accessory. Like, he's got the pistol. It was like,
and that's true. They got him, he could fly by 3. By 4 they could have added a penis attachment.
And Kane does have more accessories, so he might have a dick.
He might.
Maybe that's part of the upgrade.
He definitely is a dick.
And you can check your email while, you know, he's giving you the business. Because he's got that computer screen.
Or you could just watch porn on his face in case he's not doing the work for you. You could.
What? You watch porn?
His face is on a screen. You can watch porn on his face screen.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, check your email or something. That's disgusting, man.
Okay.
I mean, either or.
Maybe you got some porn sent to you in your email. You never know.
Maybe you did.
So where were we? Oh yes, Robo shows up. All the carnage.
Secretions.
Finds a dying Hob in the back of a money truck.
Yeah, poor Hob.
Dying sucks.
Tells him, you know, about Kane. That Kane is now the RoboCop, and he passes away. Another media break. Was the city trying to make a deal with the drug dealers? Mayor has no comment, as only Mayor Kuzak could say it. And now we've got the big night, the big finale. Here we go at the Civic Center, the brand new Civic Center, which will become the new epicenter for Delta City. And the old man has that there's the press there. And he unveils the Delta City. Mayor then pops in there. He's like, "Wait!" He's trying to debate him, but old man's like, "Shut the hell up! Sit down." The attendees are like, "Yeah, we want to hear what the old man has to say." Yeah, sit down. And then the old man has another big announcement, like he's freaking Tony Khan, and he's got RoboCop 2 presented. You can never have enough big announcements. So he does that. Here comes RoboCop 2. RoboCop 1 shows up. He's got a freaking giant gun. So he's obviously not there just to talk. He's ready for a fight. And when the old man starts talking about Nuke, frickin' Kane goes crazy because he's still hooked on Nuke, even though he's a frickin' robot without veins.
He's got a main vein, though.
There you go.
It's his dick.
It's his, okay.
Robot dick.
So,
I like how when Kane wants Nuke and that little hand comes out, that he like does the, you know, the gimme, 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 gimme thing.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie.
It was like freaking begging strips for a dog.
Kind of cute, right? Like a dog. It's kind of cute.
Yeah, like he could have held that baby, baby cake.
Baby.
He could have crushed its head like he did the girl by accident.
Ooh. That'd give you a negative. So now Kane, Fax realized,
this is a problem.
We got another problem here. Yeah. She tries to fix it. Kane grabs the remote, arms himself, and now it's on. They start the fight. The old man hits his big line of "Behave yourselves."
Yeah,
did you get that? Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was in the commercial.
They should have shrugged their shoulders down and both walked out of the room sadly. Roll credits. I'm sorry.
Did not work out that way. Fight is all over the building. They go up to the roof. They fall off the roof through the street below.
Yeah.
They're fighting. I mean, like basically in the sewers. It's just pop this is back like, up.
It's just like the fight scene from Man of Steel, you know, yeah. where they're just like destroying the city. It's yeah. great. It's good.
Kane does that sweet crab walk up the elevator shaft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The big elevator. So, yep. And it's just, yeah, this is really where it goes into like action overload at this point.
They're like, how much money do we have left? All right.
Fuck okay, it. Good. We've got, let's spend the budget right here because you got the cops with a, they're trying to take down Kane. And while they're dealing with that, Robo has an idea and he goes in and gets a little nuke canister. And I guess they put some kind of explosive device in there. I don't know when he did. Did he do it? Did we see him actually do it? Or do we just assume? Obviously, it happens. So
I don't remember it happening. I don't remember it happening.
Yeah, I don't ever remember him showing. I think it's just to be assumed.
Yeah, because he goes.
And that might just be us giving him credit. But
yeah, so
he gets people want an explosion. Why don't you give him an explosion? Fuck it.
Right. Lewis is there again. And Robo's like, let's give him what he wants. So Lewis goes and she's brave. She goes right up to Kane.
Not the least bit nervous. She's smirking.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's all in on this plan. And she gives him the nuke. He gets the little tiki-tiki-tiki hands going. And then
that's smart.
And you get Robo, who comes in from behind, comes off the top rope, gets him from behind. And gets in there and rips his freaking brain out, smashes it on the ground. Goodbye. Charles Bronson. Charles Bronson couldn't have done any better. Yeah, Kane's got the big death.
Grows three faces while he's dying for some reason.
Exactly. And then we find out, we see the old man. We see Johnson. It's like, oh, this is going to be problems for us. And that's when Johnson has the bright idea of let's get a scapegoat, perhaps a doctor who picked the brain and came up with this whole plan on her own, not worrying about us. And you could see why Johnson's had his job for as long as
he has. Some dumb.
My favorite part about that right there is even though he's completely going to use her as a scapegoat and send her to prison, he's on his way to fuck her one more time.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't do
that. That's the best part about that to me.
One last grudge fuck.
Yeah, this way. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, what happened to you? Oh, well. So, yeah, he gets her. And that's where he does the step over the body as he goes to his limousine.
Yeah.
Ignores the press. And Robo and Lewis have a little wrap up there. And
we're only human.
We're only human. He hits the line. And credits.
See, it's funny because he's not human. You get it, Brain?
Thank you.
The joke again. There is that he's not actually human. Yep. It's RoboCop because he's a robot. And he says we're only human, and it's funny because he's not. He's not human at all. You get it?
This has been a wonderful episode of HWA The Pulse.
Remember the truck that she drove into Kane?
Yeah, big armored.
That was like the truck that I had in Iraq.
All right.
So we had a M1117, an armored security vehicle, the ASV. And that was probably like an early version of what I had.
Did you run over any giant robots?
I did not run over any robots, but I did use it. Let's put it that way. I'll tell you.
What do you mean an early version? That was the future.
Well, that was the future of 1990.
Yeah, which is like actually, now. You were in Iraq like 10 years ago.
What are
you
talking about? I was in Iraq 20 years ago.
Goddamn, we're old.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
Says the oldest guy in the room.
Yeah,
that's right.
Brain's got underwear older than us.
Ew.
No.
No. You don't wear underwear.
That's not what I said. All right. End credits.
Fans again, Brain.
The end credits roll. And final thoughts, Mr. Mathis, on RoboCop 2.
A lot of movies like that, like when I'm a kid, like I can't tell if they're as good as I think they are. Because I love RoboCop 2, but it's hard for me to watch without the brain of an 8-year-old. So I say, 25 stars, but I'm probably not right about that.
Mr. Cruz.
25 is a lot. It's a very fun movie. I think that if you like RoboCop 1, you will enjoy RoboCop 2. But I think much like the fight at the end, where you have a physical representation of RoboCop 1 versus RoboCop 2, not only physical, but it's their name. Like, his name is RoboCop 2, and he gets defeated by RoboCop 1. I think that's how it works for me. Like, RoboCop 1 is so fucking good. And
yeah, it's untouchable.
Yeah, it's untouchable. And RoboCop 2 is good, but I mean, he'll crawl up an elevator shaft, but in the end, RoboCop 1 is so much better. And I think that it probably, that's one of the reasons why it's not as beloved, because the first one was so damn good. You know, it's like,
it doesn't have quite the heart and soul as the first one.
No, it doesn't.
Like what you're talking about earlier with Lois and humanizing, right, and building that relationship, that doesn't have that in the second one. It's not quite the same.
And I think that it has a problem. I think it jumps around a lot. I think that some of the characters, you don't really like, am I supposed to root for this guy? Am I supposed to root for the mayor? Like, he's the mayor of the city. He's trying to help it. But he's also, like, trying to do backroom deals with the...
I don't think you're supposed to. I really don't. I think that's the issue, is that everyone's corrupt.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying earlier, too. I think they're trying to preach a lot in there, too, but they want to have it underneath an action movie so it didn't affect their box office. But I think there's something there about how the city's corrupt and OCP, the corporation, they're corrupt.
Right.
Everyone's corrupt.
You know what I mean? There's definitely that level of satire throughout this RoboCop franchise. I would say, definitely, obviously, it was a step down from the original. But to me, it's almost gotten better after everything that followed it. RoboCop 3 was a big step down.
Nothing else after this is watchable, honestly. Right. At least to me.
The TV series was what it was. The miniseries was what it was. The remake was better left not talked about. Suddenly, RoboCop 2 is really awesome.
If you think about all that, too, if you think about RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 1 are both the ones that are beloved, and they're the two that are rated R. It's not like everything has to be gore and cussing, but RoboCop does. Like, if you take away all the exploding chests and the villains, like, actually seeming like bad guys that are wanting to, you know, fucking cuss, kill, and rape, it just loses it when you try to soften it.
Right. Like, if they did a series now on, like, a streaming, like, a Max or a Prime Video, it would probably be Prime because it's an MGM property. Like, now they could do it. They could give it an edge to it. It could be gritty and swearing.
If that's what they wanted to do.
Right.
That'd be the concern. That'd be the problem.
They certainly could. I mean, when you got stuff out there like The Boys and stuff, it's like, you can make a series like that with RoboCop and have it have that hard edge.
I think the problem with if you did like a modern thing, I think we've lost a lot of this satirical storytelling. It's like hard to do satire now. Like, we've got The Boys, right? It's a superhero show. These guys are all fucked up in their own ways. But if you did RoboCop in 2023, RoboCop is connected to the city of Detroit. Like, it's such a part of the character and the story. Yeah. If you did that currently, Detroit is in a bad spot. It did go bankrupt a decade ago, 2 decades ago. It's gone bankrupt. It's in poor position. It's got much like many big cities, crime, whatever. And I think it would be difficult to blend their satire with the modern day. It actually is a fucked up city. Like, it's not great. You go down streets and it's like completely abandoned communities and stuff. Like, Detroit, it's a suck. Man. The people, great. City, bad. So it would be tough to do, I think.
It will, and plus, you have the whole thing where people aren't necessarily huge fans of cops anymore, too. So that right there could...
It really is hard to get people to root for cops nowadays. But then that could kind of maybe be the angle that... You get a RoboCop in, and a robot can't be racist. A robot can't, have an agenda. Like, maybe that'd be the whole point.
Which is funny. Look on the, just go on your TV guide or whatever and see how many, not the TV guide brain, not the book TV guide, but the guide on your Roku.
I was wondering, I was about to call to see where my subscription was.
And look how many cop shows there are. It's like 80% of shows.
That's true too.
Are police procedural shows. So for a profession that most people tend to not like, we sure do watch the shit out of them.
That's
what I mean?
True too. So
I don't, but
so it could happen. It could happen.
If these cop shows had Dolph Lundgren in them, I'd watch the shit out of them.
I think it's more because America's obsessed with murder. It's that the cops is they're the ones that are solving it. So by proxy, I'm going to watch this. They really want the murder.
That could be too. That could be too.
They did love that Jeffrey Dahmer show.
My wife loves murder. It's disturbing. And I think that's how most people are. Like, they're just, if it's a show about murder, they're going to watch it.
There you go. The
Jeffrey Dahmer took over the country for a minute.
It did.
All right, well, that is that, RoboCop 2. And just before we go, of course, I want to remind everybody to check out bulletproofaction.com. Always some new stuff up there every week. Chad, I know I'm going to be covering a Shaw Brothers movie here soon. Going to the Shaw Brothers Ball. Do you got any plan for us?
I got some movies in the works. I got some, I think, action Christmas oriented flicks. I think that there's this Jet Li movie that I've been planning on watching for some time.
Yes, we've been mentioning Jet Li for about a 6 months.
I think that I'm gonna pull the trigger on that. You're gonna read that. It's gonna be a phenomenal, life changing, possibly. But yeah, I've got some interesting things out there.
And of course, you can follow us on social media at Bulletproof Pod on Twitter, aka X, at Bulletproof Action on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Ron Mathis, do you have anything you want to plug?
Nothing absolutely particular. You know, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, where if you're a professional wrestling fan, you can get all my dates and where you can see me on streaming services and whatnot. Search Ron Mathis on Facebook or Twitter. I'll be the shirtless gentleman.
With the stupid haircut.
Hey, fuck you, man.
All right, thank you. I gave you a nice introduction. I had to make sure I at least gave you a dig before the end of the show. Next time, Chad Cruz, speaking of Christmas action,
yep.
We're talking Chuck Norris. We're talking Invasion USA. I cannot wait. That has been one I've been wanting to talk about for some time, and it is going to be our final episode of 2023, our special Christmas episode. I think we'll have our good friend Ryan Campbell on with us.
Okay.
I'm wondering if Ryan Campbell's ever seen Invasion USA.
I would, if I had to guess, I would say no. But that makes for interesting.
Yeah, you know, I always feel like I'm doing my part.
Yeah,
making sure he's seeing what he needs to see, and he definitely needs to see.
He's like your child, you know. I have a 9-year-old son, and so I introduced him to Over the Top, and I'm doing a service to not only him and myself, but also the rest of the world by giving him this little nugget so he can carry along with him. World meets nobody halfway, bro.
No, it does not. That is true. All right. Well, thank you, Ron Mathis. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I guess I could say that this is not a wrestling situation. I could say it is a pleasure to talk to you. So kayfabe is out the window.
All right.
If we're ever on a wrestling show together, I will probably not be as happy to see you.
That's because you just can't keep up with me telling the truth, and you hate that I always point out that you haven't changed your underwear in 30 years.
Thank you very much. I knew it was going to be special having you on here. Chad Cruz, any final words you want to say about your underwear or anything else?
No, it's clean. It's good.
Probably filled with secretions. No? All right. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Bulletproof Podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.